And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Haskins, Sean Paul, and Patrick Thomas. The Big D and Bubba Show. Here's Big D, Bubba, and Patrick.
Thank you to our wives, Peter Kosan, and the Compass crew, our 17 listeners, and all the bosses who never believed in us. Thank you.
That's our acceptance speech from the CMAs. The CMA Awards! Yes. We got a CMA Award! Yeah. Holy cow. It hasn't gotten old to us yet. In case people are asking, it hasn't for me at least. Like, I just tweeted out to someone who just, you know, they tweeted out the picture of their TV whenever we were up there. And I'm like, woo! It hasn't gotten old. I don't know when it will.
I don't know. I'm trying to move on. Like, everything I post, it has something to do with that. And yeah. I'm not trying to do other things. Like, hey, here's a rock. I want to do something totally different.
Right.
You know, like, everything I've been doing is like, hey, look at this award. Hey, here I am at the awards.
Last night, okay, first of all, we're out at the awards. We're going to get to everything here in a little bit. But last night, it was the first day after the awards, so we're all sleep deprived. I know, Patrick, you slept 45 minutes
before
we did the show?
Sound like I slept 45 minutes, don't I?
It still does. I slept about 2 hours or so. Well, last night, in my efforts to stay awake, I fell asleep. I sat on the sofa to hang out with my son, and we were going to watch I think we were watching college basketball or I don't even know what we were doing. Oh, we put the Baylor game on, and it was about 7:30. I fell asleep, and then I woke up at 1:45, still on the sofa, still wearing my shoes, still wearing my baseball cap, and a half-eaten slice of cookie cake in my hand.
How do you do
just
that?
Just dangling.
How can he do that?
I slept for
I can
hours.
Never, I can never, I was, I've never been able to do that. He will sleep wherever, and he'll be out, and he'll never move.
I don't even remember any of the football game. I think I saw, the first three scores, but I don't remember them actually happening. I just remember my son going, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that was next thing you know, it was 1:45 in the morning. I woke up. I don't know, man.
I don't do that normally, but I had a few times yesterday evening where I was just like, just fall asleep sitting somewhere mid. Yeah,
yeah. I was, I'm driving home yesterday after the show. I got a case of the yawns.
That's dangerous.
And even talking about it right now makes
That's
me
so wonder. Dangerous though.
It was nuts, dude. I'm like, just stay awake. Get home. Stay awake. I told you about the time, I was in high school. I had just got my license maybe 6 months before, and I'm sitting at a stoplight. And if you guys recall, I worked in high school. I worked from midnight until 6 a.m. at the radio station. So I would be tired some days, and I remember sitting behind a guy at a stoplight, and next thing you know, boom, I fell asleep. And my foot came off of the brake, and I tapped him. I mean, obviously, it was at 2 miles an hour, and he got out of the car. He's like, what happened? I said, man, I fell asleep. I'm sorry. He goes, well, there's no damage to my car, none to yours. He goes, there's no need to fart it. Well, see you later. Bye. And I'm like, great. Awesome. That kind of stuff happens a lot. You wouldn't believe how many people fall asleep at the wheel.
I took a test drive in a Tesla.
Oh.
And they have a feature. Okay, it will. The Tesla is the all electric car. It's like the supercar. It's the, it does all this stuff.
It's the future.
And it'll drive itself. It'll stay in the lanes by itself, And if you want to turn, you hit your blinker and it turns, it changes lanes.
Do you remember 2 years ago I told you autonomous driving cars were right around the corner and everybody thought
here.
I was nuts?
It's
everybody
here.
Thought I was nuts. I said, it's coming and it'll be here faster than you know it.
Yeah. But if you don't touch, I asked the guy, I go, so what happens if you, can you just let it go? He goes, no, if you don't touch the steering wheel for, he said, I think 8 minutes, the car will turn its blinker on, will get in the right-hand lane, eventually get to the right.
And slow down?
Slows down, pulls to the side of the road.
In case you fall asleep?
Yeah. And it will go in park and turn itself off.
It's a futuristic crap, man. That's so weird.
That is
so weird.
So your bud was looking at buying one, and you have to tell everybody about Insane Mode. I've watched the videos online. Oh, I've always wanted to experience it for myself. What was that like?
Well, with an electric car, there is no transmission. Okay, so there's no.
You have 100% of the power and 100% of the torque instantly ready to go.
It's like turning a light on. You flip
it's
a switch.
It's on or off.
On or off. That's the way this is. It's like, and so he goes, okay, well, there's like regular, I forget what it was, regular sport and ludicrous mode. And he says, we're going to put it in ludicrous. And I'm like, okay. So they have a giant monitor it's like a 17-inch monitor turned on its side. It's enormous. And he goes, okay, hits that. And we're on the ramp of the freeway, of the interstate, okay? And cars going by, letting cars go by, so there's plenty of distance.
Right.
Then he goes, okay, you guys ready? We're like, yeah. He goes, oh, no, you need to rest your head against the headrest.
He made you rest your head so you wouldn't get whiplash?
That's when we all went, oh.
It's about to get for real.
All right. Put our head there. He goes, here we go. And it was like, it was so fast. I got like, you get tunnel vision. It made me like almost sick.
What?
It's so fast, man. It's 0 to 60 in 2.6. 2.6.
That's super bike territory.
That's, yeah, super bike motorcycle. Yeah. 2.6, 0 to 60. And he said, he goes, and 60 and this to is zero will make your face melt off.
This is a 5-passenger sedan, 4-door car. That it's faster than any Ferrari out there and all that kind
yes.
of stuff.
And then we did, he goes, and what's great is the low center balance gravity on this car, you can take a curve. We went on one of those little, when you get on the interstate and it's got like a clover.
Yeah.
It's really tight. And he goes, here we go. And he hit, I couldn't see I didn't notice how fast we're going, but I didn't have my seat, I was in the back. I didn't have my seatbelt on.
You slid across the seat.
Totally. I slammed it against the other door.
That's great.
And I'm like, and I'm giggling
yeah.
the whole way
of
across.
Of course you are. Because
I was holding on. I'm like, okay, And he goes, man, get your seatbelt on. I'm like, oh, okay, right. It's a fun car. It's expensive.
Well, I had, remember, for 2 years, we never really talked about it. Actually, we never talked about it on the radio. For 2 years, I did an experiment where, you know, while I had my Jeep and everything, when the gas prices spiked, I went out and I got a lease on one of those Nissan Leaf electric cars because I'm like, you know what? Let's see if this is what it's cracked up to be. And I figured it's a lease. It can't be too much of a risk. And it was a zero down deal that they were doing. It was an awesome deal. So I got into this car for no money. So I got basically a free car and all I had to do was pay the note on it. So I drove that for 2 years and it's not the most attractive car.
Oh, I don't think it's bad at all.
The looks of it?
Yeah, no, I don't think it. I always liked that car.
I didn't like it
until I rode in it with you. And I was like, wow, this is really nice.
That's the difference. Once you get on the inside, because I had the loaded out most, you know, everything in it car or version of the car they had. Once you got in the car, it's like the TARDIS, Doctor Who fans. It's bigger on the inside. It really was. But you know, you got in. You're a big dude. I'm a big dude. You get
plenty
in.
Of room.
It's very comfortable.
It's very nice. It's really nice.
And I would get on the average about 90 miles range on it every day, which was more than enough for me to go back and forth to work. And if it ever needed to, I would just plug in here at the office. Yep. And I did that probably 6 or 7 times over the course of 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I needed it very often. And I loved my little electric car. Stacy and I were actually talking about it a week ago. We're like, you know, that was a great car to have. And we're thinking about maybe going back to it. I can't afford a Tesla. No. We have a friend of ours who's about to buy one. I'm like, man, you suck.
Yeah, well, you can, you know, I think leasing is probably a better option for most. But even that's expensive.
Yeah. Well, he's doing a lease, and it was like $900 or something.
Yeah.
$900 a month, that's way out, man. I got too many other bills. I got 3 kids.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Hey, let's talk CMAs.
Why?
So, okay, here's how this is how our whole night on the CMA night went. We had to meet outside of the venue at a certain door
They told us we had to be there at 5 o'clock. If we weren't there at 5 o'clock, we were done.
Not going to make the broadcast.
You're not going to be on. You're not going to have your picture taken, the whole thing.
So I left an hour early to get there.
Me too.
And at 5 till, I'm about a block away, and I'm not moving.
Just traffic. It was insane.
And my phone's going nuts because it's Bubba losing his mind.
Because I couldn't get there. I was in the same traffic you were. I'm like, this sucks. We're going to miss our dream lifetime experience. We won a Country Music Association award, and we're not going to be able to get in there.
Because of traffic.
And I didn't know where you were. By the way, I did not know where Big D was. Patrick was there already. He had gotten there like, 20 minutes before. He's like, just hurry, get here, don't stress. And you sent me.
No, that was me saying
you
that.
You sent me a thing. You're like, don't stress, we're fine, or whatever. Well, Stacy, my wife, is with me, and she's like, look, when we get up there,
she's in full panic mode, bro.
Yeah, we're dressed to the nines. You know, she's got this beautiful gown and all this kind of stuff. She's like, look, when we get close, don't worry about getting to the valet. You just slide out, and I'll take over driving, and I'll get the car to the valet and all that kind of stuff, because the winners get valet and all that. So I'm like, no, we're a team. We're in this. We're going to do it. So she's like almost yelling at me, get out of the car. Just get out and go there. I'm not going to have you miss your picture. I'm like, no, I'm staying with you. So we get into this little like, no. So it's like, it's just heated. It's like we're trying to get down there. Nobody's mad at each other. It was just like we're stressing because we weren't there. We pull up at 4:59 to the valet stand. 4:59. We're supposed to be at that little door at 5. We pull up to the valet stand, get out of the car, give the guy my name, all that stuff, and sprint as best we can with her in an evening gown and heels to get to the door. And we get there, and then we have to wait.
We waited for 45 minutes.
Well, yeah. So we're there. I see Patrick. And I'm like, well, where's Big D? He's like, I don't know. He must be here. No, you said, I don't know. He must be here somewhere because I got that text about him saying, don't stress.
Yeah.
And 10 minutes goes by, and then Big D shows up, like at 5:10. So he waltzes up, and we're like, I felt bad.
I knew it was fine. I knew that was just their way of making sure that everyone got
But you
there.
Know what? It worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked because I am late to everything.
Yep.
And I was there on time.
So then we met some of the other radio. I think I met all but some of the radio winners.
We met all the people that were the person, the
personalities.
Yeah, the personality winners.
And some great people, and there's a lot of really talented radio folks out there. And
there's still some left.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so met them, and it was great. And a shout out to Ben and Matt in Phoenix. So we got to hang with them. We're probably hanging with them more than anyone else, but.
Because they were kind of sitting with us. Yeah,
and they're more like-minded.
They sat behind us.
And so we go in. I just had
to get it because we're going to get into the seats in a minute, and you're going to be like, what?
We took pictures with it's a prop award, and everyone gets the same one. And as they're handing it to you to hold, they take pictures. You hand it back to one person, and then they wipe it down with a cloth to take the fingerprints off. And then they hand it to the next person. And that's the way they do all of them. Whenever you watch TV, there's two
trophies. And there's as they bring one back, they send the next one out. And they clean that one off.
Yep.
It's crazy.
And so then they do that. And then we had to do the video part where basically we're just standing there.
The view that you saw on TV for the brief second and a half they showed us, we stood there. They're like, just stand there. Just stand there and smile, boys. Keep standing. Just keep smiling. Keep standing.
All right.
25. It was like 25 or 30 seconds.
No, it was.
And we start kind of giggling.
Seconds.
We start kind of giggling, and Patrick's going. I don't know if you have it still on tape. You can watch Patrick moving his mouth a little bit. He's like a ventriloquist. He's going, trying to get me to laugh.
You could see you starting to laugh, and then they cut away. It was great.
And then what did we do after that? We went to our seats.
We did the actual acceptance speech.
Yeah, where, that didn't get aired. You know,
yeah,
that was
a real ceremony. Like, bring out Jana Kramer in an evening gown, and she hosts the thing.
By the way, she was absolutely stunning in her gown.
At that point, the doors are open. People are starting to come in, And we're, you know, yeah, there were over 1,000 people, if not several more than that, in the arena watching us accept our award. It was
our
cool.
Old boss was there.
Our old boss was there, which prompted Bubba to say something about all our bosses who never believed in us.
Derek Haskins, Sean Paul, and Patrick Thomas.
That's
the
Jenna.
Big D and Bubba Show. Here's Big D.
And she
Bubba
starts jumping. I'm like, don't jump, you're pregnant.
Peter Kosan and the Compass Crew, our 17 listeners, and all the bosses who never believed in us. Thank you.
We were our Jana's favorite to bring out, by the way.
You think?
Yeah.
I love her.
I did get in a little, you know, when I was leaving, I gave her like a little kiss on the cheek, you know, like we've done 1,000 times. You know,
except her man was right next to her.
He was backstage, but he didn't see. Yeah. But I got sat down and Kathy's like, oh, kissed her.
Oh, did she really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Even pregnant and all, it didn't matter, man. Didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't matter. Anyway, so then I knew we had good seats because the winners all get good seats.
Well, before we get into the seats, can I just say this? There was a moment we're all standing backstage, like after we had said our little speech, you have to go back into the backstage area, and there's people running around like crazy, you know, because the main show, the TV show, is about to kick off in like 30 minutes at this time, and I remember this point because Big D looks. He's standing there, and he's kind of looking up at like a 45-degree angle, like not toward the horizon, but kind of up, but not straight up. And he's looking at this weird angle, and he's got this Grinch grin on his face. I'm like, what's up? He goes, look at us. Look at us. He said, we won a CMA award. He's like, this is the – he's like, we won an ACM this year. And a CMA award. We're our own bosses. He's like, this is like the greatest thing ever. And then we had a nice little group hug. And I thought that was a moment that we can't glance over because that was really cool. It was one of those things to where we had a vision and we wanted to follow through with it. But it was scary, you know, leaving a giant corporation that we were with. It was the biggest corporation in radio. I mean, employed everybody, Ryan Seacrest and Rush Limbaugh and all those people. We left. We said, you know, we're going to try it on our own and see what happens.
We weren't fired. We left. We let the contract expire. We told them that we were not going to renew. They countered.
They didn't even know that the contract expired.
Yep.
That's how big the company was. They didn't have a clue.
They countered. We said no, and we left. And it was one of those where you're like, I'm so glad we got out of that sinking ship because that was such a scary, impending doom place.
It just goes back to what we've said a countless times on the show and on the podcast. Being in charge of your own life will change your life. And being in charge of our lives, look, you know, it's like in battle. You hear it all the time in veterans. They always talk about, you don't worry about anything else in the middle of battle but the guy to your right and the guy to your left, and you got to keep them alive so they can keep you alive. And that's what we do here. I worry about you guys because you guys are worried about me. Yep. And that's what it's all about. In a big company, nobody worries about anybody else but themselves, and they're all trying to climb to get to the next rung on the ladder so they can get that raise, so they can do this and do that, and finally get to the point where they can have a golden parachute and then bail on you.
Yep. Oh, I really only lost one friend out of all that. And it was a guy who valued the climbing up the chain more than any friendship in any personal relationship with another person. And that guy is completely dead to me. I saw him at the thing. I was nice.
I was nice to him.
I was nice to him.
Bubba was nice, and Bubba doesn't like him at all.
I gave him, you know, it's not that I don't like him. I just No. It's not that I don't like him. I just don't trust him. That's the thing. It's not that I don't like him because I can hang out with people that I don't like.
I know exactly what you mean.
And that's the thing.
There's a difference.
I actually do still kind of like him, but I don't and won't ever trust him again. And that's where I am. And you know what? He's not dead to me.
I'm at a whole different level, apparently.
Yeah, and I am too. And I'm kind of, I think Bubba's there. Patrick, you're on that other far extreme. I think I'm in the middle somewhere. And but I know what you mean. You still like someone, but you just don't trust them. And you kind of go, hey, you can be cordial to them.
It's like an ex.
And I have a lot of those people too. But with this specific guy,
it's like an ex. Look,
no,
well, we're not going.
We're not, and he never liked you. He actually made us at one point stop putting Patrick on the radio. Yeah. He was like, I just don't want Patrick on the air. So anyway, but this is the guy that prompted us.
Unbelievable.
His lying to us prompted us to leave and start our own company because we were told a sack of lies one night on a Sunday night sitting at his kitchen table. And then Monday morning, he flipped the entire world on us. And stabbed
us in the
back. He was right,
though. You should have done all those things he said, including taking me off the air, because clearly... We left and went on our own, and we haven't made anything of ourselves.
That's the thing. It's like the people who make these decisions,
they
don't know what they're doing. Yeah. There's so many, they don't know what they're doing. And it's not just in radio or in any media. It's in tons of everything.
Yep.
These are just dillwads who just happen to promote themselves up.
Climbers!
And then all of a sudden, they're making decisions.
They're
climbers.
Well,
you know who should make decisions? People who know what they're doing.
There's a reason why in the military you trust your higher up as far as like a gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps. If you're a good officer in the Marine Corps, you're going to trust your gunny. You know why? You may be the officer, but your gunny has been there. He's been in the trenches, and that's the guy who knows. He knows exactly what's going to happen three or four steps ahead of you because he's done this 15,000 times.
But you have to check your pride at the door.
Yep.
You've got to understand that you're a team, that, hey, just because I make more money, just because my title says this, does not mean I'm smarter and more equipped to do this job
than
you
are. But that's the bad thing with corporate America, is that somebody gets a title and it gets in their head that, you know what,
I know what I'm doing. Or I wouldn't be here.
That's right. Anyway, so that was a very special moment for us. So we hugged. It was like, oh my God, we did it. This is the best thing ever. And then we go back out to our wives and find out that our seats are flipping amazing.
Fourth row.
No.
Yeah.
Were they fourth?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were the fifth.
No, it was the fifth row, but there was no, we were in row E, but there was no row A.
Oh.
So that was, we get there thinking we had fifth row seats and it was actually fourth row seats.
So I sit down and there's like, they're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So I go in first. And so I'm like in the middle of the row and I'm like, oh, dang it. I'm going to be sitting next to somebody. It's going to be a tight squeeze. Well, come to find out, nobody sat next to me. So I was able to scoot over and get more room.
Right.
And Rascal Flatts sat the rest of the row next to me. So I sat there and talked to Joe Don the entire night. We just hung out and.
Who you went to college with.
Yeah, and made fun of other artists.
So, how crazy is that?
That's pretty funny because, like, people that actually came and I'm not going to say where exactly they were sitting, they sat near us.
Yeah.
Joe Ton.
That's enough.
Just, okay.
But anyway, I like them. It was just fun. But
Lauren Elena, I absolutely love.
Yes, she sat right in front of us.
And we have actually just days before we had her in the studio, like a week ago. And then we also have something coming up that's in the works with her.
We filmed an episode of her little her web video series that she does. It's not available. It's not out yet.
It's called Swack, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Swack, Seal with the Kid. But yeah, it's really funny. So like we've got this great camaraderie with Lauren Elena.
Lauren talked to me more than her date. I think he was getting jealous.
He shouldn't. He's a very attractive dude.
Every time something happened in the show that was noteworthy, she would turn to me and go, oh my, you know.
She's a pincher. Did you notice that? She's a pincher. She likes to pinch you to get your, hey! Like pinch. Like, yeah. You got me. That hurts.
And I don't want to be, you know, leering toward a barely 21-year-old girl, but dang, she looked good in that dress.
Yeah,
she looked good in that dress.
She's an adult. You're an adult. There you go.
And then
maybe she'll hear this.
Eric,
I hope not.
I'll tell her. I'll say, Lauren Elena, here's the link to our podcast. Listen, starting at about 23 minutes.
Eric Pasley was sitting right. I talked to Eric a lot too.
Eric Pasley walked up, and he's what, 6'7"? And I'm like, oh, I hope you sit in front of me. And he started laughing. And his date, I guess it's his wife.
Yeah.
She's like, oh no, you're lucky. You got me. I'm like, yes. And then he sat right in front of your wife. I felt terrible.
But let me tell you, when Chris Stapleton won the first award, when he won, Eric stood up and was clapping, and he was so excited. He turned to me and goes, "Man, that is awesome."
Yeah, everybody.
I'm telling you, every artist.
Lauren Elena was crying. She was so excited.
Every artist
was excited.
That whole group was so rooting for Chris Stapleton.
Let's not forget and glance over the fact that Miranda Lambert was wearing, when she performed, she was wearing a Chris Stapleton T-shirt
on stage
that she had embellished with a bunch of blingy stuff.
What did it say on it?
Chris Stapleton.
Oh, I didn't even notice
that. Oh, yeah,
that.
The shirt she was wearing that was like all like shiny and sparkly, it was a Chris Stapleton like tour shirt she went and had, you know, bedazzled.
Oh.
Like, how crazy is that?
And,
you know?
Lady A. What am I
Charles Kelly.
Charles was out of his mind excited. Yep. He was jumping up and down. And whenever he won when Chris won his second CMA, he turned around, he looked at me, and he makes the image of like a ball with his hands, like the earth. And he goes, he does this, and then he like flips it upside down. He goes, his world just flipped upside down.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, man, you no kidding. Absolutely it did.
Here, I just sent you the link so you can see Miranda's
shirt. And then when he won the third one.
That was when things
went. That's when everything broke. And when they did the performance, that's when it was, when him and Justin Timberlake, that was like, it was like a real, it was church.
Well, Patrick thought he was really going to break out when the album came out. Because, like, a lot of people looking back, God bless you. Remember when, God save you, God keep you.
Very good.
Remember when Luke Bryan sang Drink a Beer on the CMAs? God help you.
Yeah. I'm not real sure what happened after three.
That's four. The guy singing in the background with him was Chris Stapleton. The guy going, drink a beer. You know, the real high notes. That was awesome. And Patrick was like, he's about to be a superstar.
It's going
to
happen, man.
And it took another year.
The people in Nashville have been following this guy around, watching him play in bar. I've seen Chris Stapleton perform 20 times.
God!
Yeah, that's all you need.
Bless you.
It's just, you know.
I'm waiting for one more.
Yeah, we're waiting for D to sneeze again. I can't. I think it happened. I think it took a moment for the rest of America to go, oh, all right.
Maybe I need to go and check this guy out. And they did.
He has the number one album on iTunes right now. When the Billboard chart comes out, I think he's going to have the number one country album, and he's going to be in the top 10 all genres.
This guy that nobody knew who he was outside of Nashville, now all of a sudden is the number one selling country act.
Yep.
So bring up what you said earlier, Patrick, about
Shift.
Yeah.
Remember? Oh, yeah. There was a time at the CMA Awards, once upon a time at the CMA Awards, an artist came along and had the biggest performance of the night. Everyone in Nashville loved this person. They were a big-time songwriter. Everyone loved this person and respected this person. And they won a bunch of awards, and it was a shock, and it changed country music.
Nobody really knew.
No one expected
that they were going to win anything.
And the average casual fan was like, huh? Yeah, it was Taylor Swift. It was 2009. She had the biggest performance of the night. She won Female Vocalist Album of the Year and Entertainer of the Year. No one saw that coming. And the next day, everybody was like, what? And the whole record industry went, we got to do that.
We've got to go more pop
and
to sound like Taylor.
Problem. I'm not discounting Taylor. You have to understand that the people I know who love Chris Stapleton also love Taylor Swift. And the reason is because it's genuine and it's original and it's what she wanted to do and it's what she did and she did it well. But then it's when everybody starts going, well, we should do stuff like that. That's when it gets weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it went too far in the other direction.
Yep.
You know?
Too much of it.
Too much of it. We should all.
And then they kept pushing it and pushing it to where all of a sudden you're like, is this country music?
And the pendulum swings so far one way. And we've all, in Nashville, we've been talking for 2.5, 3 years now about that Nirvana moment, that moment where Nirvana comes along and changes all rock music. And it was all one way. And all of a sudden it came back and it, boom. One band, has one thing.
Do you think this was that bellwether moment where
everything's
going to shift?
We thought it was going to be Chris Stapleton. Like the people, you know, that I hang out with, and the artists and the writers and producers and the people who write about country music and all these people, we all thought, oh, let it be Chris Stapleton. He'll come out, we'll put out this record, and country music will change. And it didn't happen. and then the CMA Awards come, and Chris Stapleton goes, y'all watch this.
Everything. Dude, he took when it they, all.
When y'all they... admit, and I'm not going to... You guys like Chris Stapleton as a person, and you think he's a great singer, but you didn't expect
No way.
I am a huge... How big of a fan am I?
The biggest. Patrick,
I am his biggest fan.
Patrick isn't a fan. He's a cheerleader.
I thought, oh, I hope this is good. That was my... When I saw... before they came on, I saw them leave their seats, because when you're sitting there...
Yeah, you know when they're about to perform, because they disappear
they
for a couple minutes.
And at the commercial break and go backstage, they don't just get up, but seat fillers come, people who's dressed in pretty outfits whose job is just to sit in Chris Stapleton's seat while he's on stage.
And look pretty so there's not an empty seat.
So, seat fillers, Chris Stapleton and Justin Timberlake aren't in their seats anymore. And all I thought was, just please let this be good. Let Chris go out there and
do what
blow
he does.
People's minds.
Yeah.
I never imagined it would be that. I never imagined it. But this thing came over me when Brad was saying, here comes Chris. They were standing on stage, and they're like 10 feet away from us because we're in the fourth row. And they're standing there, and I just went, oh, my God, it's Chris Stapleton and Justin Timberlake are about to throw down.
I'll say this.
And
Tennessee
happened.
Tennessee Whiskey was amazing when they sang that, but when they covered the Justin Timberlake song and did Drink You Away, they took that song. It was a great pop song.
Yep.
They took it to another level. It was crazy. I've seen that performance on TV. I've watched it on YouTube. Let me tell you something. You don't know what it's like to hear that song being sung 10 feet away from your face with Charles Kelly bumping you with his elbow, with Lauren Elena screaming up and down with Tyler Farr.
Even the older guys, the last group of guys, because we were in the fourth row, and in the front row we had Tracy Lawrence, Clay Walker, and then just a little bit away you had Garth Brooks was there. And they were all, every one of them, man, fist in the air, singing along, just losing it.
Somebody asked me, he goes, was it as great in person as it was on TV?
I said, it was great.
I said, it's like you go to a friend's wedding, and then you have your own wedding. I said, you're basically going through the same motions, but one is completely different because it hit your heart.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what it was like to be there.
You experienced it in such a way by being there that blew my mind. There's no way I can convey the feelings that
Bubba's a fan. Look at Bubba is a hardcore fan now. We're all like, yep. Yeah.
I mean, I always liked Chris Stapleton's voice. I told you, he to me is the best, I'm going to say, screamer.
Yeah.
He's got the best country scream, maybe even in all of music, since the 80s hairband days. He's got an incredible way he yells on pitch and on tune that...
It's just amazing.
You can't teach it. It's got to be God-given.
It is.
And he's got it. He's got it, and there's a guy named Jimmy Barnes in Australia that has that same thing, and I've always... What?
Yeah,
that
weird music.
It must be from Big D's headphones. Yeah. Yeah. But I've always thought Jimmy Barnes had it. Now I'm shifting. I'm like, scoot over Jimmy Barnes... Welcome in Mr. Stapleton. He has taken over. And it's crazy, man, to see that and to be all... I'm all in now.
I told one of my friends...
I think country is all in. I think people are all in.
I told one of my friends... So I went to the Universal, to the after party for his record label. And I saw Chris Stapleton at the thing. I said this story on the air. I told him... He said congratulations, which was very nice. And I told him at the end of the night, we're both going to have CMA Awards.
Because, again, we knew we had ours ahead.
I knew we had ours. And I knew he was going to win Album of the Year. I just knew it, you know?
Really?
Because all the other albums were great, but they were all splitting the vote. And there's enough people who vote like me, and I'm thinking of all of my friends.
I voted with my heart, too.
And who just said, this is the best album. This is it. Maybe Chris Stapleton wasn't the best new artist because, you know, Sam Hunt, I can't tell you Sam Hunt didn't have a better, he had a better year, okay? And so did Thomas Rhett, and so did Matty. They all had huge years. Kelsey had the first number one so I could justify voting for any of those five people. But for Album of the Year, there's no question, and I know there were a lot of people who felt that way, so I just knew he was going to win that. And he told me, he goes, well, I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, I saw him at the after party gave me a big hug. And he was like, I can't believe it. He really didn't think he was going to win.
And he also, the thing about Chris Stapleton is we've made such a big deal out of Chris Stapleton and Patrick being his biggest fan for over a year now that he really, truly believes that's you're his biggest fan.
I love it.
So when you saw him at the party and he said, I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. And I was like, man, I knew it. I said, hey, remember that time you and me won 4 CMA awards? And he laughed. And I was like, that's crazy, man. What are the chances of that happening? But I told a friend of mine at his record label at the party that night, I'm like, you know, if Chris had come out and won Album of the Year and Best New Artist, people would accept it. If he won Male Vocalist, and I think a lot of people would be upset because Luke didn't win, Eric didn't win. You know, I think a lot of country fans would be like, hey, how come my guy didn't win and this guy I never heard of? But the fact that that happened after they watched him burn the stage down.
Yeah, then it became a little acceptable.
By the end of the show, even everybody watching at home who never heard of him was like, I hope that guy wins.
My only fear with the Stapleton and Timberlake performance is that Justin gets all the credit.
A lot of people loved country music. My wife
were really impressed with Justin.
My wife was like, Justin could hit those high notes. She never said Chris Stapleton could hit the high notes.
Man, it was good though. But you're right though. It's when they played. I think a lot of people went, "Wow, they deserve it." I gave Chris my CMA. I was so impressed. I said,
I'm telling you right now,
take mine.
Vocal Duo of the Year used to not be a permanent thing. It used to be just people who did duets, like Kenny and Dolly, Kenny and Dottie West. You know,
back in the day.
Who would win. I mean. Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn won Vocal Duo of the Year just because they sang duets together.
George and Tammy.
It didn't used to be a permanent thing, George and Tammy. So I'm thinking Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton
should be a thing.
Vocal Duo of the Year. Can I vote for them for the CMA next year one performance?
You can do write-ins. Why not?
At the beginning, you can. Yeah, in the nomination process.
I do want to say this again. We shared it on the show, and I just have to bring it up because this is how big a fan Patrick is of Chris Stapleton. For all those of you who go, who is Chris Stapleton? This is how big a fan he is. About a year ago, Patrick had Chris Stapleton make his voicemail message.
I didn't do it.
You did. Yes, we did, because we knew it would make you happy.
I knew you wanted to ask. You needed
me. I would never
me.
Ask somebody to do my voicemail.
You needed me to do that for you. That
you
was,
hear him go, hey, it's Chris, and then he goes into his thing.
Hey, this is Chris. Leave a message for Patrick.
So that's what you
get, I just remembered,
to this day whenever you call his voicemail.
Oh, my God. I just remembered 2 years ago on my birthday in 2013, Chris Stapleton brought me cupcakes. He was here. Remember, it was my birthday. He came in that morning and he brought me a birthday card and cupcakes.
Yep.
And now you guys shared another special moment.
And now we won CMA Awards on the same night.
That's really cool, man.
Crazy.
I'm happy for him. I'm happy for you. I think that's great. I'm happy for country music.
When are you going to move into his house?
They have a spare room for me over the garage.
I told you after I made the announcements of the CMA nominations, and he had 3 nominations, mm-hmm. I texted him that night. And
I saw his reply.
I said, hey, man, congratulations. Patrick cried. that was the funniest thing.
I do want to mention the Pentatonix thing. When Pentatonix, remember when they walked out and everybody's like, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody had a clue. Who is that? And I went, that's Pentatonix. And I forget who it was. Might have been Scotty McCreery. He goes, who? And then, like, that's when they started doing their thing. And they sang Elvira and blew everybody's mind. They did Mary Did You Know last Christmas. That's how I know them. They were also on, America's Got Talent or one of those shows, or, like, America's Sing Off.
One of those shows. I don't know which one they're from.
They're crazy good. They look a little weird, but they're crazy good at what they do.
Only a couple of them look really weird.
Tell us how you really feel, D.
I saw one of them. I'm like, he starts walking up, and I look at Eric, and I go, God, he's going to sit next to me, isn't he?
And they did.
They sat behind me.
They sat right behind us. We ended up having Pentatonix right behind us. I'm going, wow, that's cool. They smell nice.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Chris. Leave a message for Patrick.
So when you call your phone still, that's what your voicemail is.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
That's it.
Guys, I got to get out of here. I got a meeting.
Is there anything else that happened that was really cool? Really,
we
no.
went to the after parties and he didn't.
Yeah, we show up to the after party. And Big D, literally, we walk 35 feet in and Big D kind of stops. And I keep going, my wife and I keep going towards, because it's free food and drinks. We're like, hey, woo, we're all exhausted. Turn around and Big D's way in the back and Patrick's like, oh, no, he's coming. Nope, he's turned around. They're leaving. They're gone.
Yeah, I was like, because I kept, you know, my thing was, I don't care for that stuff. But I was like, you know what, Kathy, it's, you know, she maybe likes that, you know. And so I was like, I was doing that. I walked in the door because I thought she wanted to.
Right.
And it was crowded and I didn't know anyone. There wasn't any artists there. It was just like suits and people I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, and she was like, and as soon as she did that, I was like, yeah, we should go. I was like, yeah. She goes, and I was thinking, we should go to Waffle House, all dressed up and just go to Waffle House. And she goes, you know what we should do? We should like go to Waffle House or something. And I go,
that's the best, man.
That's exactly
what. You
know,
you married the right woman right there.
That's exactly what we should go do. And so that's what we did. And took a picture with the lady from Waffle House. And I said, she walks in, she goes, well, y'all must be come from someplace fancy. And I said,
and fancy, yeah, by the way, is with a T. Fancy.
Fancy.
I said, yeah. Kathy goes, yeah. And I went to the bathroom. She goes, yeah. And she told him that I won a CMA award. And I come back out and she says, oh, you won a CMA? I said, yep. She goes, that is great. What can I get y'all to drink? That was great.
I want to just say one thing. I finally got to use my proper joke that I should have used at the ACMs. When my barber asked me, I told him I had won an ACM award, and he was like, are you like a writer or a producer or something? And I said, well, no, I'm on a radio show, and we went, oh. And I missed what I thought was the greatest joke of all time. Well, I was at physical therapy for my back yesterday, and one of the girl that's my therapist was asking me all about winning the CMA and what it was like. And one of the girls goes, I'm sorry, did I ever hear you say, did you win a CMA award? I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She goes, are you like a writer or a producer? And I just, no, ma'am, I'm Luke Bryan. And there's that small second where she paused and goes,
really?
Is he really Luke Bryan?
Well, you know,
I was so happy.
There is a rumor about not Luke, but there's somebody else that they're like, are they Milli Vanilli? Have you heard all that? Somebody was telling me about that at a party. I went, are you kidding me?
That surprises no one. That didn't surprise me at all.
Luke is good. Luke's good. Luke is legit. He's good.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
the other one, I didn't realize that. I'm like, I didn't know that. They're like, everybody knows. I'm like, really?
Hmm.
Oh, you can only play that game for so long, and then
it
breaks.
You'll get found out quick.
It'll someone talks and it gets out.
Again, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just telling you what somebody told me at a party.
Yeah. All right. On that note,
I do want to say that we are, of course, doing the podcast from the Wrangler Rigs Studio. Wrangler Rigs workwear, comfortable, tough all day long.
Yeah, that's what we were told.
Yeah, that one's not true.
It's not true.
Keep going. No,
it's not true. Okay, well, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
It's absolutely. This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.